Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IR2PC call on the 15th of May 2012. On the call today, we have James Waddell, Kevin Erdman, Bob Mountain, Andy Graves, Mikey O'Connor, Simonetta Batiger, Philip Corwin, Jonathan Tenenbaum, and Rob Goring. We have Michaela Nalen, who will dial in shortly. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs and myself, Matthew Peregrine. We have apologies from Avi Doria, Alain Béranger, Paul Diaz, Roy Dykes, Barbara Knight, Matt Sterling, and Hager de Faro. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you, Natalie, and good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the IRTPC Working Group call for May 14th. As per our usual procedure, does anyone have any updates or changes to their statements of interest? Seeing none, I would ask, does anyone have any recommended changes or updates to the proposed agenda that is posted in the right-hand column of the Adobe screen and was circulated to the mailing list? Okay, excellent. Then we'll adopt that agenda and go forward. As Marika had noted, and then Natalie, you heard her call out the names, that we have a significant number of individuals who are absent from this call due to a conflicting meeting that's occurring, I believe, is it in Switzerland, or where are they, Marika?
Which meeting? WISIS, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
I think they're in Geneva, Andy.
In Geneva. So we do have a number of other usual attendees that are absent. However, I think we have a fair number of folks to attend on this call, so we can declare that we have a quorum and proceed. I would note, however, that we have all three of our registry representatives absent. So the question I would pose to the group was, does anyone believe that we do not have a sufficient quorum to continue today's call? All right, everyone feels good about it then. We will continue. Thanks, I appreciate it. I don't think we can afford to lose the week anyway. I lost the agenda. There we go. We can get ready here and dive into the reports of the sub-teams. I wanted to point out that we went through the data gathering sub-team findings presentation fairly comprehensively last week, and while he's now on the call, I think he wasn't able to join us last week, we should all say thank you to Bob for putting this together, not only for doing a lot of the heavy lifting in that group, but also presenting it in such a readable and easy to understand format. So thank you for that, Bob. Certainly appreciate that. And then there were a few changes that we noted. Marika, can you perhaps walk us through the changes that we discussed last time, and then were they accepted by the sub-team?
Yes, this is Marika. If you just hold on one second, I'm pulling up the email, which has all that in it. I think there was typo on the, well, I think starting off on the title page, we added there a clarification that, you know, this is a summary and with a link to the full report where also all the comments can be found and the full details of each of the questions. The second change was on slide three. It's actually slide, I think here it comes up as page two. In bullet three, it actually said, I think, registrants instead of respondents. So it was just a typo, and that was fixed. On slide, let's see where that is. I think it's slide five. It's actually, well, it has six of the heading. Yeah, it's numbered slide five. I think it comes up as, slide number five. There was a confusion over the 32%, and I think we initially assumed that there was a miscalculation, that it was supposed to be the 29%, but when I read the section again, it actually talks about 32% of the comments that were received. So I just highlighted the comments so that it's clear that that percentage relates to the comments. Then there was on slide seven, bit of additional explanation in the text box to explain what the other category included. As I think we, you know, there was some confusion on the call as well, whether, you know, what other answers could there be instead of a yes or no. And then I think a last change that was made was on slide 12. There was a word at the end that didn't seem to belong there, so we just removed that. And I don't think there were any further changes made by the sub-team. I don't know, Bob, was there anything else that was changed that you recall?
Yeah, Marie, this is Bob. No, I think you covered it. That's all the changes we had for this round.
So that's it.
Okay, thank you. And Bob, those were taken as friendly changes by the sub-team, by the authors of the report?
Yes, James, absolutely. It was all good. I think very constructive, and I think improved the clarity of the final summary.
Excellent. So I think we can say that this is adopted and complete, and you know, well done for that group. Does anyone else have anything to add on the data gathering report or the effort in general? Caleb, please go ahead, and thanks for joining us.
Sorry for the delay, and I won't go into the details of why it took longer than it should have done. I just want to just say, you know, thanks to Bob and the others for putting in all the effort in doing this. You know, we all volunteer for these things, and we've got day jobs and everything, so, you know, the effort is always appreciated. That's all. Thanks.
Agreed. Thanks, Michele. Okay. Well, if there are no other comments on that, then we can proceed to item number 3, which is the ideal process team. It looks like Marika has her hand up. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to come back to agenda item 2, because there was actually a second question in that agenda item that, you know, you may want to take that after looking at the other sub-team, but I guess it's now for the work team to actually look at the, you know, the executive summary and the findings of the working group and decide how to move from that to, you know, going to recommendations. So that was a principal part of agenda item 2, but, you know, just as a reminder, maybe you want to take that as a later discussion point.
Good point. I think that, rather than make a decision, we could probably pose this question to the group, which is, would you like to see some draft recommendations written by, let's say, myself and Avery and Marika, and put those back to the group based on the findings of the data gathering sub-team, or do you believe that the data gathering sub-team is more appropriately tasked with coming up with some draft recommendations based on their findings? I suppose either way is probably permissible under the structure of our work, but it's more of a preference thing. Bob, you have some thoughts here?
I guess, James, I'm happy to coordinate some recommendations following the work we did, if you think that would help, and then obviously turn it over to you for final. Final drafting, if you think that's a reasonable approach.
Yeah, sure. I think that I guess we probably should have asked first, huh? But yeah, it sounds like you're willing to take the first stab at this. Does anyone have any concerns with Bob or some portion of the membership of the sub-team taking the first stab at those? Now, Mikey, go ahead.
I think this is Mikey for the transcript. I think the concern I've got is that if we sort of look back in time in the early parts of this working group, we posed a bunch of questions that we've never answered. One of the things that we got to in our planning was, ooh, it would be a good idea to go out and gather some data, but there are a whole bunch of other things that we were going to look into a bit. I can't rattle them off because it didn't occur to me to bring the notes up until just now. But I'm not feeling comfortable going straight from this data gathering effort to recommendations, because I think there were other issues that we wanted to explore that we haven't. So that's my concern.
Mikey, just a question and perhaps a homework assignment. Do you think that we have captured those on one of the mind maps, those open questions? Do we have a list of them somewhere, or do you think that it would be more of a scavenger hunt to go get those things?
No, I think if you go back to, I've been posting that work plan mind map out on the list, and I'm looking at V12 of it, but that particular chunk of the mind map's been in almost all of them. We wrote down a whole bunch of stuff that we were going to do, and some of that stuff is covered in this survey, but some of it is not, and it seems to me, I hate to duck, but I'm in the middle of writing a different report. I'm happy to sort of chop out the piece of the mind map and ship it to the list, but in terms of structuring a go-forward plan based on the stuff we talked about, I kind of want to throw the ball back to the co-chairs on that, because I just think we've missed a chunk of work that we thought was a good idea back in the day.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, Mikey, you believe that there's still some preliminary work that has to happen before we can build some recommendations around this report and these findings, and that maybe what I'm asking is, before we dive into drafting recommendations, Bob, maybe the SUM team can work with Marika to pull out, because it sounds like Mikey's got some conflicts here, so maybe we can just go back to the mind map with Marika and make sure that we capture all of the outstanding questions that are associated with Charter Question B and Charter Question C. And at least, if we don't have a recommendation based on this data, these findings, then we can at least make a note that they still remain open. Does that sound like a reasonable approach, Mikey?
Yeah, that's fine.
On those items that we do have data, we can proceed with those, but we should at least keep a tracking list of those things that are still open.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's fine. I'm just sort of flying intuitively here that, I think we've got a punch list with items on it that we haven't touched yet.
Okay. Well, we'll touch those items that are untouched. How's that?
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, we'll start touching them. Marika, if you could go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm just looking at what Mikey sent to the mailing list, I think, on the 24th of April. I presume that is from the mind map. And looking at those questions, I think many of those were covered as part of the data gathering effort, at least in relation to the IANA issue, where people were asked, do you think there's any harm? What are the effects of requiring or not requiring? What are the current situations? Are there any security issues, or the effects of or the effort involved in changing? So I do believe that a lot of that information is at least captured in what the sub team already did. I do believe that's part of that work, probably links closely as well once the group gets to a recommendation, to try to describe what the effect or the expected impact is going to be, which is also one of the requirements as part of the new PDP, that working group tries to assess what the impact is going to be. So some of those questions also come on the other side out of when you look at the recommendations. Mikey, might be, because I'm looking at the, what did you say was the latest version? Because the one I see on our wiki is version 10. Did you say version 14? Did I hear that well?
Oh, this is Mikey again. Marika, I think version 10 is fine. I'm up to version 12, but that may just be because I was taking some notes and haven't published it because they were so minor. So I think version 10 is, and this part of the mind map is quite old and dusty, so version 10 will certainly be fine. And I think it's just an intuitive reaction. It may be, and I would be delighted if it's true, that all of the issues that we thought about were covered by this. That would be fantastic. It's just sort of the ex-auditor in me.
As you said, it's good to look back at it and just looking as well at the FOA question. Like it asks as well, like, you know, identify use cases and scenarios, current practices and current policy. I think that's, you know, for example, something the sub-team did do, because, you know, they specifically asked, are you time limiting or not, and why are you doing it? Understand issues and concerns. I think also that's something that also came forward in the data gathering survey. But maybe indeed it's something that needs to be more spelled out. So I think some of those elements are probably there, but I agree it's a good idea probably to put the mind map next to the data gathering survey and see if there are any areas that were not covered and need to be, you know, further understood or explored.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Marika and Mikey. And I think that's just a prudent thing to do, is to go back and check the resulting work here with what we set out to do initially. And I think that's just a good kind of thing. Mr. Mountain, Bob, thank you for being so patient. You're up.
No worries. This is Bob. I guess I may be getting ahead of myself, but I'm wondering, even if we do identify areas where we need to go back and rework, would it not make sense to, publish recommendations based on the things we have closed on in our final, so we can check those off and then move on to the open issues?
I think that's exactly correct, and that was, essentially what I was proposing earlier, which is that we just go forward with what we have and make a note that certain questions may still be outstanding. And I don't believe that anything would necessarily cause any rework of the data gathering effort. I think that it would just be an add-on to what's already been published here. So at least that's my takeaway. But I think we can go back and we can check. I think, as Mikey noted, it may be just a few loose ends as opposed to something significant that was omitted, but it probably makes sense to check. I don't know, Bob, does that address your concerns, or?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I'm in agreement. That's
okay. Yeah, and I agree. We should just go forward with the recommendations on what we have and then see if there's anything missing. Okay. And then I think we decided in our last call that the impact analysis or the impact statement, which is due for all three charter questions or the recommendations associated with the charter questions, is going to be one of our major tasks once we have collected feedback during the public comments period and the workshop in Prague, once we have some more input from various areas of the community and they've had a chance to view and digest some of the recommendations that we're coming up with. I think we'll have a better handle on what needs to be included in the statement of impact. Okay, so if there are no other question. And thanks for that, Mikey. I mean, I think it's always a good practice to just make sure you go back to the beginning and check your work versus the plan, make sure that we haven't forgotten anything on our shopping list. If we can move on to item number 3, which was the change of control subteam. I know that we had a couple of specific action items for the change of control subteam, the first one being to review the locking procedures described in Reason for Denials number 8 and number 9. I believe that's actually now Reason for Denial number 7 and number 8, effective June 1st, and perhaps Marika can check on that, because IRTPD deleted one of the Reasons for Denial, which just changed up all the numbering and got everybody's numbers a little messed up. The second item was this open question. And I don't believe regarding whether it should be whether the change of control should be a separate policy, a standalone separate policy, or part of the existing IRTP consensus policy. And I think what we arrived at last week was it's less important for this group to solve that issue, although it should probably make some recommendations. But we should find a good way to pose that question to the attendees in Prague and to the readers of the and respondents to the initial report. So those were the two outstanding items for that subteam. I know that Simonetta was traveling and has been very busy and hasn't had an opportunity to set up a sub-team call. So I guess my question is, was there anything else that I'm missing or leaving out? Do we have other items that we need to update on that? And then what do we think is the best approach to getting that sub-team to have at least one more meeting between now and the next call on Tuesday? Oh, Simonetta, I'm sorry, I didn't see that you had joined. Simonetta, please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. First of all, apologies that, yes, I have been very busy and I ignored emails and did not make a lot of progress with the sub-team in the past week. But I do have a little lighter week this week, so if it works for the rest of the sub-team, and I know that all of you guys are actually on this call right now, so I'll just ask you right here if Thursday would be a time that would work for you guys to schedule another hour to discuss these open items and hopefully come up with some output that the group can then discuss again. I already see Michaela saying that Thursday is not an option. How about Friday?
Just to point out, there's a North American regional meeting Thursday and Friday in Los Angeles for ICANN, so I think at least some of the U.S. registrars may have to bow out.
I see. And I already see lots of red crosses. So what days would work between now and next Tuesday? Because tomorrow is completely booked on my end until very late in the day, which means that Michaela couldn't be a part of the call. I could do tomorrow late after 4 p.m. Eastern, or on Monday next week after 11 a.m.
Just speaking for myself, I think if we can try and send out a doodle poll for sometimes on Monday, we can probably come up with at least partial attendance from the group.
Okay.
I see Michele's agreeing.
Marika, could you do me a big favor and put that poll together?
Okay, so just only Monday, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll do so.
It looks like we're spanning European and U.S. time zones, so I guess morning in the U.S., afternoon in Europe. That way we don't have people missing dinners and stuff. But and then maybe, Simonetta, I think anything that we can do to, and I will help in this regard as well, just kind of keep the discussion going on the list so that we can, prepare as much as possible in advance so that, go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just in relation to you were listing the items that the sub-team still needs to look at or shouldn't forget about. I think there's also the email that was sent by Barbara concerning the auth info code. And I don't know if that's maybe a broader working group discussion as we have spoken about it before. And I think there was also an email from Rob Golding providing, I think, his views on how an ideal process might look. So those are, I think, two items that may need to be added to that agenda as well.
I agree. I think both of those messages were important and should be reviewed. So, okay, I guess that's the update then for that sub-team, that we have a few specific tasks, and we'll try and gather that as many as folks are willing and available to meet on Monday of next week. Okay, and that kind of segues nicely to agenda item number 4, where we discuss the items that were raised by Barbara and Rob, and also the draft language that I circulated on the mailing list. I've received no interest or comment on it, so I assume it's either perfect or disastrous language regarding our findings for the from our discussions, our investigation of this function in the ccTLD space. So let's just maybe knock that one out of the way first. Has anyone had a chance to see this? This is essentially taking a step back and looking at the chart that we built, looking at the notes that we circulated from our meeting with the CCNSO, and some of the messages that were circulated on the mailing list by folks like Michaela and Matt Serlin. And we were just trying to put together a narrative that would fit into the draft report that describes what we found when we went to look at this function in the CCTLD space. So I circulated some draft language here. I think, you know, the first three paragraphs are really just an overview of what we did and what we learned. And then when you get into the bullet points there at the bottom, it is more of a points for discussion or just outlining what our findings were and whether or not we want to make any recommendations based on what we found in the CCTLD space, or if we're simply just using this information to support the recommendations that will be forthcoming on Charter Question A. So I guess the first question is, does anyone have any concerns or feel like we've missed something? Does anyone feel like I have missed something in constructing this narrative? Does anyone believe that we've got some important points that we have omitted from this? And do we want to go forward with these findings and this recommendation? So, Vanetta.
I actually really like what you wrote there. I think it should be supporting whatever the final recommendation is. I mean, this in itself isn't a recommendation. It's just a summary of comments we've received that give a picture of, as you wrote there yourself, that there's all kinds of models out there. I just have a comment on the very last point. It's not just one CCTLD. I think you were referring to the .be, right?
I was, yes. Were there more?
The .de kind of made this change maybe like a year ago or 2 years ago, and they kind of had the exact same experience. So if you want to, you can add the specific TLDs that made a change like that made very good experiences with it.
So there were two then, BE for Belgium and DE for Germany, correct?
And I also see Marika typing on the left-hand side, also .no made a change from paper to automatic system. I haven't heard them comment on it, but it might be worthwhile to just briefly ask them how they feel about it and then capture this here as well.
I think, Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was raised in our meeting with the CCNSO and just didn't hit my notes. Is that?
Yes, this is Marika, exactly. I think she was speaking about it that they before had like a paper system where everything had to be filed on paper, but now they went to a kind of online system, and people indeed seem to be happy about that as well, as it made it easier to conduct such a change. So that's indeed from the meeting with the CCNSO.
Okay, so perhaps we should make a note, without listing the specific CCTLDs, perhaps we can make a note that a few CCTLDs recently changed their processes, and we can just pluralize that sentence. Would that be an improvement? Okay, I don't see any objections with that, so I can take that edit. One thinking here, just the scientist in me wants to point out one CCTLD has recently changed its process to make it more restrictive, and this has been very poorly received. But I hate to call anybody out in a report like this, but I think Simonetta and Bob probably know exactly which one I'm talking about. I think it's from a scientific perspective, however, it's always interesting to include a counterexample to demonstrate the veracity of your point. Go ahead, Simonetta.
I think it's a worthwhile point to include that. I mean, you don't mention which CCTLD has changed to make it more flexible, so why not put one in that says one CCTLD made it harder and received quite a bit of criticism for it.
But I have to ask, and I think we're talking about the same one, so let's just kind of maybe establish that first, but I don't know that their changes were done specifically for, and I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here a little bit. I don't know what the reason for their changes were. So I don't know if it's a security thing or if they were doing it based on new privacy laws in that country. I'm not, I'm not really sure what the impetus was behind those changes, so I don't know if we can say that it's this reason that's caused it to be poorly received. Mikey, go ahead.
This is Mikey. As I listen to this, I'm sort of going back to why did we ask them? And we asked them about this in order to get ideas for good processes. I'm getting a little uncomfortable with the evaluation that's creeping into this, good or bad. If I had been asked about my processes to help somebody else do something, and then in addition to having my contribution be used to help that group do whatever they were doing, I also got a little grade at the end that I hadn't been told I was going to get. Even if I was anonymous, I think I'd be cranky, and I'm not sure it really helps our cause. It doesn't materially affect the work that we're doing. We use it to get good examples. But I'm getting a little uncomfortable with this well-received, badly-received stuff in this conversation.
Mikey, I think you have a good point. And maybe we kind of slipped a little bit down a path. I would say, however, that those who are saying that they made a change and the change was well received, that is reflective of what we were told in the CCNSO meeting by a couple of Country Code representatives. So that is, in some respect, that is accurate reflection of what we were feedback that we were given. If I could finish, Mikey, I think that you are correct that then going back and saying that some others injecting our opinions or our own maybe is a little out of bounds in that regard.
Well, and just to respond, in an unstructured conversation like we had with the CCNSO, we got a lot of information that wasn't really terribly germane to what we were asking him for. And I think it's fine that they gave it, but I'm not sure that it belongs in a report either way.
You had some thoughts on this?
I'm wondering, I hear you and I agree with you, Mikey, that putting it in a way that makes someone look bad is not what we want to do. I'm wondering if we can find a way to objectively make a statement that captures kind of both experiences. So, for example, rather than saying that one CCTLD had recently changed its process to make it more, to offer more flexibility, maybe we can capture both ideas in one, like, general statement such that we basically say we've received feedback that making the process, less complicated or whatever is something that users value, or I something like that. I don't know where it's more. I'm trying to find a good phrase, and I can't think on the spot like this. But where we captured this idea, because I think the idea is something that justifies why we may make certain changes in how we design the process. And if someone ever came back to us and asked us, why did we do it, I'd like to have something that we can point to and say, because we received feedback like this, without blaming anybody or pointing fingers at anybody. So if we can find a creative way to say this, I think it would be good.
Okay, thanks, Simonetta. Mikey, go ahead, and then I'm going to try and firm this in for landing. Go ahead.
The caution that I'm kind of landing on here is I think that we could it's the relationship between the GNSO and the CCNSO, and the CCNSO and ICANN that I'm concerned about. In our charter, we said, let's go ask them if there are some good ideas from the CCNO space that we could incorporate into our best practice. And we did, and they gave us those. And we should say thank you and stop. I think that we can certainly use Simonetta's approach if asked, well, why did you put those in and not these other ones? We could say, well, you know, we did get some feedback from the CCNSO that some of these improve the user experience. But I would prefer not to put evaluative statements about CCNSO processes, plus or minus, into GNSO reports. I think that treads in very sensitive territory. Not all.
Well,
be quiet.
Well, I see your point, Mikey, and I actually, you persuaded me that that is probably out of bounds. However, I think it is fair to say that, you know, with regard to the last bullet point, that we were told this, that we could say something like, at least one CCTLD told us that they had recently changed their processes to offer more flexibility, and in their opinion, so now we're attributing it to the person, you know, the CCNSO that provided CCTLD that provided the feedback, and in their opinion, this has been positively received. You know, I think that is probably more, what do we want to say, a less of a subjective, we're not inserting our judgment into that. We're reflecting what has been told. And none of the CCTLDs, I believe, from that meeting stood up and said, you know, we have a process and it's a disaster. So if someone had said that, I think that we would be obligated to include that feedback as well. So, you know, I think you're correct that we probably should not be citing counterexamples, and I think that you're correct that we need to structure the language such that it is properly attributed and constructed as feedback received rather than the judgment of the working group members, even though some of us have some pretty strong feelings about some of these CCTLDs. I think that we should resist wading in and making judgments. So my recommendation, and I'll just kind of throw this out to the group with Mikey, you know, in mind, is that we change the language of that last bullet point to say something along the lines of one CCTLD notified us that it had changed its process and in its opinion or it believed that this change had been positively received. Something like that. Any concerns or objections about going forward? And then leaving out the counterexample. Mikey, go ahead.
I liked one version a whole lot better than the other in the two versions that you just rattled off. I really don't... if you're going to do it, which I would still prefer that you just strike it, but since I don't seem to be able to persuade you to do that, at a minimum, make it extremely clear that it's their opinion, not ours. And so when you said, in their opinion, it improved flexibility, that's a lot better than the less attributed version that you came up with later. I think at a minimum, you got to make it really clear that this was the view of a CCNSO registry sharing their experience with us. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm okay with that.
Okay. So as long as we've established that as clearly as possible, and I see there's – well, Bob has his hand raised, and there's some exchanges going on in the chat. So, Bob, can you – weigh in on this?
Yeah, I guess just wanted to comment that yeah, Simon and I were going back and forth, but is there a, you know, a way we can word it so it does not appear to be a criticism, but, you know, you could obviously read between the lines and interpret it however you might like. But so rather than saying, you know, complicated, you know, use words like lengthy or involved, you know, or involve multiple steps, you know, just kind of rephrase it so it's not pejorative. So, but, you know, obviously the, you know, through the explanation, the ultimate implication is clear. It involves more work in the, on the writing, but, you know, it might get the point across without necessarily appearing to be critical.
Bob, just for clarity, you're talking about a way to get the counterexample back in there?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I see Mikey's got his hand up again, but I'm going to go ahead and jump the queue a little bit, Mikey, and say that I've been convinced that that's probably not a good thing, because not only does it, you know, require us to get, I think, creative with the language so we're not disparaging a particular country code, but they were not in the room during that time. They did not provide us feedback on why they had made that change or why they felt that it was appropriate. And they had also, I just learned now that that particular country code is actually not even a member of the CCNSO. So based on, you know, just the feedback from Mikey and just some of those other open questions, I think we should stay away from it. I know what we want to say, but, you know, I think it's inserting, I'm trying to think of a parallel here, but it's kind of like we're taking a reporting job here as more of a journalist and reporting back what we found, and then we're editorializing a little bit too much for my comfort. But I, you know, and I think Mikey's on that page as well, because he raised the issue originally, but, anyone else want to weigh in on that? I notice we're spending a lot of time on this, but I think it is important. We don't want to go too far off the rise here. So go ahead. I mean, I see Simonetta in the chat, and I would just point out, Ms. Simonetta, that they because we didn't get this directly from the CCTLD in question, that we don't know that they think it's a mistake. They may think it's great, even though registrars and registrants have verbally expressed how much they hate it. I'm sorry. She says now in the chat that she was joking, not to be meant to be taken seriously. Sorry, I missed a smiley face. Bob, do you see, I mean, what are your thoughts now? I think that there is a benefit to including the counterexample, but I'm just concerned that it's outweighed by all of the perils.
Yeah, this is Bob. I totally get that. I wouldn't want to be, you know, impolite to the people who gave us the information. So I'm just, but, you know, on the other hand, it's good to be able to cite the extremes. I think if we just word it so that it's not, we're not making a judgment about goodness or badness, but just the attributes themselves. You know, I think we could potentially get away with it, so because we wouldn't be at that point being overly critical, you know, at least in an obvious way. But it's just a matter. It's going to take more time to word, which I know we don't have a lot of. So I think we just have to make a decision whether it's worth it or not, whether that's the right approach, and then if it's worth the time investing in kind of tiptoeing around with the wording.
Well, you know, I'm an open-minded guy, so I would be willing to see any drafts that you would. You and Simonetta could come up with that you felt would be adequately finessing that counterexample. However, I would say I'm just inclined to include it, but maybe, you know, take a shot. Let's see. But I think Mikey's point that he posted in the chat is very germane. We didn't use it. We didn't ask for it, and it doesn't address the question, or at least doesn't directly, maybe obliquely addresses the question, but, Simonetta, can you
have
last word on this one?
I have a different thought on how to maybe use this information. So, first of all, I'm wondering, if it's not going here, does it need to go into the impact discussion? Because if we're making a process involve more steps, then most likely the impact of that will be some feedback from users that they don't like it. So whether or not we then cite the specific example is the next question we should be discussing. Maybe we can even go to them and ask them, hey, which language would be something that you are comfortable to see included here? We don't want to make you look bad at all, but we do feel that we have learned as part of this process that feedback seems to be, if you make the process simpler, people like it. If you make the process involve more steps, then people don't like it as much. And I think that is a learning, and that is an impact that whatever the output of this will have. And I think in that regard, it needs to be captured in some form. I don't know if it needs to be in this list, because this is a specific report of a meeting we had at the Costa Rica conference. So maybe that's a way to think about it and actually reach out and see what they're comfortable with, and also ask them why they made that change, because maybe there's something we can learn from that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Simonetta. And I think that definitely we want to draw the CCNSO's attention to this section of the draft report, and perhaps we can ask Rika to reach out to her counterparts when the time comes to ensure that we have accurately captured their input. And then we can see if we want to build on that either there or elsewhere in the report. I think there is a value, I mean, Mikey has convinced me on this, but I think there is a value to establishing that there is, in theory and in practice, there is a cliff edge that we shouldn't drive over with this process. I think there's a value to that. I don't know how to say that without actually pointing out who has established that cliff edge, and it is out there, and it is noteworthy, and it is something that the not just the aftermarket, but just even large registrars that deal in country codes that have customers who want to update their name or update their contact information or change their phone number are finding that this is a unworkable, unnecessarily bureaucratic procedure, and they want their registrar to fix it for them, and we're not authorized to do so, and it's causing a bit of consternation out there, and I think that if we should at least acknowledge that somehow, tactfully and diplomatically, without throwing anyone over that cliff. So anyway, that's my feeling. So if we can just, like I said, Bob and Simonetta, if you want to take a stab at it here, go ahead. I think the odds are against it, but maybe if we can take a look at where that might fit later on down the road. We've got 8 minutes left. I'm hesitant to dive into the next item, which was the messages from Rob Golding and Barbara Knight. And I especially don't want to dive into Barbara's message, as tempting as it may be, until she has a chance to be on the call. At this point, maybe we can, give everybody the last 4 or 5 minutes back of their time, saying that we were in danger of not having a session today just because of the quorum issue. But I think we did make some decent progress, and we've updated a number of the action items. So why don't we call it for here and just go forward with those items, and I think we'll see some movement on some of these open tabs and the sub-teams will also pick up a few loose ends, including a meeting on Monday for the tentatively on Monday for the ideal process sub-team. So if there are no other items of business, we'll close for today, and I'll say thanks, everybody.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Ricardo. You may now stop the recording.